What's up, Internet, and welcome to episode 77 of Radio Radar. I'm Hollander Cooper, and here with me is...
Tom Agrino.
Henry Gilbert.
And Greg Henniger.
And we're going to jump right into the top seven, sans laptop, because it's out of battery.
Top seven.
You screwed up. I want to go low.
Top seven.
Wait. We can do harmony.
It's the top seven.
We can do harmony.
All right.
Top seven. Yeah, screwed up.
It's the top seven.
And the top seven games where you meet the president. Mm-hmm. Starting with number seven, Dudes versus Dragon Ninja. Or is it Meet Dragon Ninja?
Versus Dragon Ninja.
Bad Dudes and the Dragon Ninja.
President's Day feels like a long time ago, guys.
It really does. Did that even happen?
Yeah.
Did we say the same thing?
We had the exact same remark.
Do you remember
Yikes.
When
I'm a bad enough dude to make that comment.
Yaiba.
That's a very un-Tom-like reference for you to make.
Bad enough dude.
Yeah, well, I mean, that was just a very retro reference.
I don't know where that game. One found its way into my psyche.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Bad Dudes, the saying of the game was, are you a bad enough dude
to
save the president?
Yes.
I know exactly how it got it. So Ryan Davis used to always just harp on bad enough dude. Are you a bad enough dude? And that's how it got in there.
To save the president.
In this case, in general. Well, the beginning of the game starts off asking you that.
You know, I'm jealous of you. I got to meet Ryan Davis like a couple times. You got to work with him for a long time.
I did. He smells.
Are you a bad enough dude, Tom?
To work with Ryan Davis?
He was.
Clearly I wasn't because I got shit canned. Actually, he quit before I got shit canned.
He was gone way before you.
Yeah,
left.
That's true.
Yeah.
Anyway, Bad Dudes, about Bad Dudes, you do meet the president on it. Specifically, you save the president.
And that president is?
President Ronnie.
Ronald Reagan.
Ronnie, Ronnie. Bad dude.
Yeah, Ronnie Piper.
Yeah. He's Ronnie.
He's Ronnie, and he is, like, at the time, the developers are like, well, he's the U.S. president. President's Ronald Reagan. Let's just make him look exactly like Ronald Reagan and call him President Ronnie.
Right.
Like, no worries about doing that at all.
And when you save him, his reward is like, let's go get burgers.
Yep. Because if you're a bad dude, that's what you want.
Yeah.
Fun aside, he was Ronnie in, I believe, just the arcade version. In a later NES or Genesis release,
let's say Ronaldo.
Well, no, they had to update it to H.W. Bush. So,
and
then he doesn't offer to take you out for burgers.
No, he doesn't.
Who is the president that likes jelly beans? That's Reagan, right?
That was Reagan.
Okay. It should have been like, haha, thanks, bad dudes. Let's go get some jelly beans.
Well, that shows you it was made by Japanese people. Like, they eat burgers. That's what Americans do.
The other thing that I love about the game is, like, this is 88 or 87 this came out or whatever.
Uh-huh.
A Japanese company makes a game about... Japanese ninjas kidnapping the U.S. president. I feel like it's a long time ago.
I was 1 year old.
I was four.
Let's all do the math on how.
I did the math.
I had just been born.
87. 87 was a weird year for
me. It may not have been 87. We don't actually have this information in front of us.
Reagan.
Fantastic Force.
You talked about Reagan, his jelly bean thing. Have you guys been to the Jelly Belly Factory in Fairfield?
Is there a giant statue of him made of jelly beans?
California?
Yeah, the nearby area, Fairville. It's Fairville or Fairfield, which is...
Fairfield is a dump.
But it has a Jelly Belly Factory.
Apologies to all of our listeners in Fairfield.
It's like Camden, New Jersey, which has an aquarium, despite being like the crime capital of the country.
If we have a single Fairfield listener in either California or Ohio, if you're from Fairfield.
Tom will send you something.
I'll send you some shit we got lying around the office.
Not near it. In the area.
In Fairfield.
In Fairfield.
And you have to be able to prove it.
Oh, yeah. I need some, I need a utilities bill.
A Polaroid.
Not only do you live there, but I need to know that you are a taxpaying resident. Yeah.
This is a library card situation.
But yeah, it's just the Jelly Belly Factory. I'm surprised none of you guys have been to it. It's a fun little trip.
I've been to the Ronald Reagan Museum.
You go through.
Is that also in Fairfield?
No.
Oh.
Well, where would that be? Where the
Ripley's,
Sacramento?
Believe it or not.
Burbank?
Oh, yeah. He was a movie star first.
Yeah, he was.
But
was he any? What movies was he in?
I'm going to look that up because I don't want to be corrected.
He wasn't a famous movie star. He's the most famous one.
He's a bit actor.
The one people made fun of him for was the movie Bedtime for Bonzo, where it was him. He's taking care of a monkey or an ape.
Yeah.
He's like a Greg Kinnear.
Yeah, I guess he is like the Greg
Kinnear. I'd vote for Greg Kinnear.
Kind of famous, but like I'm going to forget about that guy in 10 years.
He was also, but yeah, he loved jelly beans, and the Jelly Belly company like loves him, loved him for making jelly beans huge in the 80s.
No, jelly beans were huge in the 80s.
So they have multiple like tributes.
Simi Valley. That's where
just
it is.
Tributes to
him? Multiple tributes to him, including a painting made out of jelly beans.
Ah, I was going to guess that.
A painting?
Well, I mean, yeah, yeah, like,
be a
like,
mural,
like
wouldn't
macaroni
it?
Art, except, oh, okay. Okay, a piece of art made out of
jelly beans. I'm sure
an
they're
art
stale,
installation.
But if given the chance, if nobody was looking, I would just lick that entire, like, up to, like top to bottom, lick the painting.
If you want
to
taste test
do you think they
bunch?
Worry about mold?
I'd still do it.
I mean, they probably like lacquered them pretty heavily.
Lacquered,
which is why it wouldn't taste like much, but I'd do it.
If you want to taste test a bunch of free jelly beans, go to the Jelly Belly Factory.
I watched an episode of Dirty Jobs, and they had the guy from Dirty Jobs go to the Jelly Bean Factory,
yeah.
And he was like, and it was like the one where they were making like they make like the disgusting flavors,
mm-hmm. Oh,
and
the
he
Harry
was
Potter
like,
ones?
He's like, I want to make one that smells like my boot and tastes like what my boot would smell like. So he had them smell it, and they mixed it together, and he smelled it. He's like, it smells exactly like my disgusting
some
shoe.
Some real science
and they
going
made
on
it.
There.
There's some real, yeah.
Yeah, they made it, and like he was like forcing people to eat them, and they were disgusted. He was just walking around being like, here, taste my shoe, and he would just like hand somebody a jelly bean, and they'd eat
Did
it.
Did he ever ask someone
out.
To lick his boot and then hand them a jelly bean?
He might have.
He should have.
He should have done it himself.
Missed opportunity.
He should have done it himself.
Number six on the top seven games where you meet the president. These are all games where you actually interact with the president,
yeah,
not
yeah.
just there's a president in it. Metal Gear Solid 2, where there are multiple presidents you meet and interact
yes.
with.
President George Jones. Not George Jones.
Judd Jones?
No, there's two presidents.
Judd
George,
Apatow.
George Sears.
Yes.
And I believe a President Jones, who's the current president. So if you didn't, one of the weirdest things at the end of the first Metal Gear Solid is that over the credits you find out that the president is not only evil,
uh-huh.
President George Sears is not only evil, but he is also a clone of Solid, a clone of Big Boss,
yes.
like Solid Snake. And you think, oh, I'm going to be fighting the president. But then in the intervening years between Metal Gear 1 and 2, it actually gets crazier in that the president clone is very quickly aging and then is thrown out in disgrace because his involvement is revealed and the Patriots don't want him as president anymore. So then he just becomes a supervillain out to conquer the world.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yep. That's the thing
as
that happens.
Solidus
natural path.
Snake. It's Bill Clinton right now.
Yeah. And I do believe he kidnaps
I would have guessed Bush, but it's Clinton.
Yeah.
Bush is just like, I'm just going to fucking
Bush
chill.
He's too stupid to conquer the world.
He's just enjoying retirement as a normal person
yeah.
would. Bill Clinton has some fucking plans.
Oh, yeah.
I have a feeling Bill Clinton's eventually going to do something along the lines of a no Russian from Call of Duty
oh,
2.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he's going to go to Russia and kill a bunch of people and be like, it
how many,
was America.
How many
and then
people,
just run away.
How many people do you think Bill Clinton has killed?
With his bare hands or with a weapon?
I'm
thinking
or
he's
like, fair. Go kill that guy.
Oh, no, just actually murdered himself.
I think
maybe not with a weapon. Maybe he strangles them.
I think
strangle. He
knifes he's a strangler.
He looks like a strangler.
You got to do it.
Or
in
a drowner. Like hold someone under until the bubble stops.
Yeah,
so
I would
feel
say he's more of a suffocator.
And
he
no
gives
mortality.
You that little thumbs up as you're drowning. Bites his lower lip a little bit.
So
yeah,
none. The answer would
none?
Be none. Because
I would say at least four.
I'd say a baker's dozen.
All right.
I'd actually say two.
Two.
Yeah. So you he becomes a supervillain.
Big Bill
Solidus.
Clinton fan, Henry.
He becomes a Solidus Snake, and you have to prevent him from buying up all the Metal Gear. I forget most of the plot.
Number
the
five.
One other thing. In Metal Gear Solid 3, you meet Lyndon B. Johnson.
Yes.
Ooh.
He shakes your hand, says weird statements.
And then I think later you find out, like, he may have been a patriot and might be specifically responsible for initiating the plan to clone Big Boss.
And kill Kennedy.
Well,
a lot of people
one.
Do that with him.
And open up Johnson & Johnson's.
Oh, yeah.
There's a great bit
Gerber's
out there.
As well.
Is that really him?
Gerber's.
I don't know.
Yes,
LBJ, he's...
Invest in Johnson & Johnson.
He was also... There's these clips that, like, of him calling... Him making calls from the White House mm-hmm. that got released to the public. And one of them is him just calling his tailor of, like, these pants are too tight for my balls. They feel good.
My balls are being
pinched. Talking about how his balls are too big.
He's got big balls.
I would love it if the tailor was like, God, you call me about this every week. I don't care,
I think
Lyndon.
You have a medical condition if your balls keep growing.
LBJ.
No, man. The pants you got me were good at one point, but now my balls got bigger.
Elephantitis.
LBJ also did a lot for civil rights.
And cocaine.
He did a lot for cocaine. Yeah.
Number five, Resident Evil 6, a game which begins with you shooting the president in the head.
My bad.
You meet him first.
My you meet him.
You said, what up, Mr.
You said, what up? I'm sorry about your zombie disorder. Yes. I'm going to shoot you in the head. Later. And that's pretty much the extent. Well, the reason he gets that shit hits the fan in Resident Evil 6 is because he's the first, like every president before him, and by every I mean like the two, have known about the Raccoon City incident and zombies. And he's like, the people of America have a right to know. Mm-hmm. And in a chilling commentary of what happens to whistleblowers, he is turned into a zombie and the country is engulfed in zombie war.
Yeah, and he's about to attack. The opening of the game is, it's a... maybe one of the best scenes in Resident Evil at the start of Resident Evil 6 is at the start where Leon's like...
Are we praising the game now or not?
We're praising the beginning of Resident Evil 6.
And then he goes like, Mr. President, no, no! Blam! And then he has shot the president in the head.
Yes.
Because he is a zombie, he can't
stop
him.
He's a zombie.
But it's not just that, like, people know zombies exist. They call them BOWs in that world.
They're biological organic weapons.
But what they don't know, they actually say bows. They do say bows.
They do,
bow.
But that's what it means.
Bow,
but,
wow.
But what they didn't know was that America nuked itself in the Raccoon City incident. Like, they say that they covered up as like, oh, something exploded during the in Raccoon City. Like, no, the America dropped a nuke on it.
To prevent the zombie apocalypse. Yeah.
Can we all agree that Raccoon City is the stupidest name for any city?
Dude, I fucking saw a raccoon run outside my door last night. Those guys are huge.
They're vicious as shit, too.
They're large. I'm really glad that I had Ragamuffin inside at the time.
Did I tell you the time that I had to go into the garage, and that's where we feed our cats? There's like the cat food thing out there.
Yeah.
Huge-ass raccoon eating all of our cat food.
Fucking bastard.
And my mom's like, get that raccoon out of the garage. And I was like, I got this. I grabbed like a 6 foot long broom and was like, hey, you raccoon.
Hey,
you. And I started to like sweep him away.
And he's like,
fucker turned around, eyes were enormous, hissed at me, and started spitting at me.
Holy shit.
I shit my pants and ran away.
As you should have.
One of the first times I was, I went to a party in San Francisco right after I moved here, and I was walking back with it with Ryan and Gavin, used to work at PC Gamer.
Love that
and
guy.
Was too drunk to
Gavin
remember.
If Gavin were to come up to me today, say, hey, if you don't give me money in exchange for an article, I'm literally going to starve to death.
Uh-huh.
I'd be like, Gavin, you fucked me too many times, buddy.
So anyway, we were walking back to this party, and Gavin's probably the only person that remembers it. We see what looks to be a like 4-foot-tall raccoon.
Does Ryan not remember it because
Ryan
he's drunk?
Was way too drunk.
Okay.
The raccoon kind of like walks like fucking Bigfoot, like does that weird like on two legs walk,
slowly
turns and looks at us, and then just kind of looks at us and sees us, and then goes into a sewer and just like slips into like a drain. And Gavin and I don't drink, so I was like, I'm like, someone else has to have seen this. And Gavin's like, holy shit, did you see that raccoon?
Raccoons are fucking enormous.
Yeah, they're
huge.
Real
they're essentially
way bigger than you think.
They're basically bears.
Yeah, they're little bears.
They're small bears. So Raccoon City.
Number four, Assassin's Creed 3, where you meet and are extremely rude to George Washington.
Yeah, you are.
But
I can see Washington. Washington was a known asshole. You've got to be an asshole.
But he also did a lot of good
stuff. Did a lot of good stuff, but as a person... really shitty.
Unlike most of the slave-owning signers of the Constitution, he at least freed his slaves.
Thomas Jefferson, now there's a gentleman.
He knows how to treat a lady.
He didn't free all his slaves. Like,
he freed some of them.
Some.
Well, he freed his bastards, basically.
Yeah, he raped his slaves. Good for you.
Good
Thomas
for you,
Jefferson.
Thomas Jefferson.
Lost to history. Nobody truly knows what
happened. Pretty sure they truly know.
I'm sure it was documented pretty well. He was the president.
All right.
Anyway.
We just horribly malign Thomas Jefferson.
Well, here's the thing. In the game, like you said, George Washington, known asshole.
Mm-hmm.
And your character, I guess, as a mouthpiece for the French-Canadian developer, goes up to George Washington and just was just like, you're a known asshole. Mm-hmm. You killed a bunch of Native Americans. Mm-hmm. Or at the time, as they called them, Native Americans.
Right.
Redskins.
I was, and he's just like, what?
That's
I was
the baseball team.
I was just doing work.
Soccer team? Football.
I was doing work. Baseball. Also, I have baseball. Wooden teeth.
Football.
Right.
Football. Redskins.
Redskins.
Number three, Command & Conquer, Red Alert 2.
It's probably a bowling team.
Lots of time travel involved.
I miss the Command & Conquer games because they cast B, C list celebrities at bat. Maybe D. All right, D-list.
Would you consider Ric Flair to be a C-list
He's
celebrity?
He's an A-lister in my mind, man.
Woo! Anyway.
Right over.
But
my
yeah, so the reason wrestler? That the presidents,
wait,
you meet presidents all the time in the Red Alert series, and they are always in a shitty situation because time travel makes things real complicated.
Mm-hmm.
Darkest of days.
Somebody goes back in time and kills Einstein to start the whole Red Alert
really?
Series.
Yep.
And you don't know this about the Red Alert
I've never
series?
Played a Red Alert game.
Oh, man, they all have live-action cutscenes.
I mean, I know series. Of them. I've
yeah, they all have
live-action
cutscenes, and the plot is like someone goes back in time, kills Einstein,
uh-huh.
Nuke is never created, World War II still kind of goes on, and now the Russians kind of grow, and they are more powerful, and the Chinese are doing better than ever.
Who becomes the greatest generation, then? Is there no greatest generation?
Well, it got delayed.
Oh, God.
Nobody had
what
time
a horrible
to,
future.
Nobody had the freedom to respect their greatest generation.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're like... The game has also silly units like polar bears.
My favorite thing is in Red Alert 3, you can there's a water vehicle that, and I think it's a land vehicle, can go on either, that you load people into like an APC, but it shoots them out of a cannon, and they parachute down. You can load that son bitch up with bears and just like go up to the walls of your enemy and just like, boom, 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 and suddenly it's raining grizzly bears on their territory.
Wow.
So, yeah, you meet the president in a few of those, including...
Red Alert 2.
Yeah. I remember Red Alert 3, the president... I'm pretty sure the president was played by the guy who played J. Jonah Jameson. In
yeah, he was involved. And
J.K. Simmons.
Wasn't George Takei
played
the
Emperor
of Japan.
Japan.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty good. And, yeah, Ric Flair was a general... Some porn star was in it, too.
Jenna Jameson.
Definitely.
I think it was Jenna.
Must have been Jenna.
Yeah.
The only...
All-star cast. Number two.
The only porn star whose name I know.
In existence.
Yes.
I bet you know.
The only one. Yo, recently I was talking to my dad, and we were talking about Ninja Turtles, and he's like, do you know there's a porn star named April O'Neil? And there's just like a long, awkward pause, because this is my dad. He's like... Someone at work told me about it. A long, awkward pause.
Does she dress
and
up
he,
as...
He had to pretend not to know, and weirder is I had to pretend not to know. No, she doesn't.
Oh.
Well, she does. She cosplays also.
Oh, okay.
Yes. I mean, somebody at work
sounds
told
like
me.
Lucas put together a cosplay
somebody at work
gallery
told me
yeah. mentioned...
Listen, you guys all listened last week when Ryan admitted to doing nothing but looking up robot porn. So
he did.
Let's just go
I
ahead and blame
that.
Him.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we
he spent a lot of time because there's for every one he found, he had to look at 10 that didn't make the cut.
Right.
Yeah.
So he probably looked at about 700 naked robots and judged them,
which explains why he. Yeah. But yeah, so
you can easily do a list of porn made for gamers.
Uh huh.
Just.
I mean, yeah.
Anyway,
porn
number
stars
that could
cosplaying
be.
As video game characters.
Would that work on Facebook?
There's a 500 slot gallery right there.
Number
oh, God,
two,
yeah.
Oh,
Fallout
yeah.
3.
Get them hits.
In
Get
Fallout 3, you meet the president, and it is literally an old-timey computer. That's mm-hmm. the entire president.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty good.
Pretty funny.
Pretty good president.
He has a lot of pre-recorded statements to say.
Yes.
And you first find him on the radio, right?
Right.
And then you he's one of those.
Because nobody knows he's a robot. And he's not even like an android. He is like an old oscilloscope. And number one, Call of Duty Black Ops, which is my personal favorite because not only is JFK in it, but you just like sit next to him and talk to him, which is just a cool thing to put in the
and
game.
It is implied you kill him.
You may be the assassin.
Wow.
They don't go far enough to say you definitely did kill him, but...
So here's the thing I didn't know about JFK.
Go on.
Okay. He was actually a fairly shitty president the first couple of years he was in office.
He just didn't do, as I understand, he just didn't do a lot of stuff. He was
well,
awful.
No, like he had like the Bay of Pigs fiasco mm-hmm. and just all sorts of things just did
the
not work out.
The missile crisis worked out pretty well for him, though.
Get
I think that was his turning point.
Wiped clean.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But also like civil rights people, I've read in the history of civil rights, they say like, JFK talked big, but Lyndon Johnson was the one who actually signed signed stuff into law.
Well, it would have been really difficult for JFK to sign it because he got shot, Henry. Jesus Christ.
Too soon, Henry.
And also Vietnam. And
yeah, there was the
that.
Vietnam thing.
I love that. I was
hired McNamara.
I remember at one point, I think I was watching the Chappelle Show, and there was a joke about Vietnam, and he just yells like, damn you, Nixon. And I'm just like, really? Like, Nixon didn't make things better, but...
Yeah.
He just got stuck with it.
Yeah.
But, boy, we...
Politics.
Politics.
Yeah, politics. Also, I believe in Black Ops, You can even play as JFK.
You can. Yeah.
And
Fidel
Nixon,
Castro,
right?
I think, also.
Isn't Nixon one of the other characters?
Yeah. Because they're all invited to talk about something, and then the zombie outbreak happens.
Gonna have to blast those zombie heads.
And then after that...
That's a good Futurama impression.
It became really weird that now it's just like the most random characters you can play as now are just like... Sarah Michelle Gellar, Michael Myers from Halloween, not Mike Myers.
I dressed up as Mike Myers for Halloween once.
What's that guy's name?
Yeah, baby.
Alejandro something? The guy here?
Alejandro?
Yeah.
Is that from the Lady Gaga song?
No, he's the...
Maybe. Alejandro.
Oh, no, maybe. You mean the
guy
who's
always a
very tough-looking guy.
Yeah, that villain, the Mexican villain, the quintessential Mexican
God
villain.
God damn it.
The guy that's in Machete?
Yeah, he is Machete. Yeah.
Don Juan. Donald Duck.
Dimitri?
Evergreen.
Darian?
Danny Trejo.
There it is.
Oh, that's what you were going
Danny
for?
Trejo.
We really helped him out.
Yeah,
here.
We did.
This was us.
Listen, we're all over the place, so we're going to go ahead and take a break, and when we come back, we're jumping into the
community segment.
Gotcha. And welcome back, segment two of Radio Radar. Gonna jump into the news. First off, big news this week, Irrational Games closes its doors down to a staff of 15 people. Henry.
Well, so what is the correct characterization here? Are they closing or are they not closing?
Well, I don't think they've officially confirmed whether that group of people is still called Irrational Games or if is being dissolved.
Because I remember there was that huge tough of Ken Levine back in the day was like, they renamed that studio Ken Levine.
Ken Levine.
It's spelled V-I-N-E. Levine.
So you say I climbed.
It's
a
Adam
vine.
Levine of Maroon 5.
Levine.
Okay,
one person
continue.
In here has met him in person and could say.
Anyways,
Levine or
Kayvine.
It's Levine.
So Kayvine, he had Bioshock or 2K Boston.
Yes,
there was a big kerfluffle, and then it became Irrational Games
after Bioshock 1 came out.
Right.
Yeah.
So, do you think they would give up the Irrational name? I just can't see that.
Well, I don't know. I kind of.
Why would they?
I feel like it could be a matter of him wanting to do something else,
right,
and it not being something that involves having the name of Bioshock follow him around in every way.
Mm-hmm. You think so?
Well, I think so.
It could very easily possibly be.
You could not qualify this statement anymore.
That Infinite was too big, did not sell enough.
It was.
And 2K is like, look, man, even though that's a really important franchise, like it wasn't financial, it wasn't successfully enough. I can't talk today.
Jesus Christ. It sold like 4 million, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but considering it took, 5 or 6 years to make?
Yeah, that's...
One of the things that he pointed out in that letter was that the Bioshock franchise has made $500 million. So...
A lot of
which
money.
Is a good
a
number,
lot of money.
But not GTA numbers.
How much did it take to make?
I don't know.
Honestly, I mean, Bioshock has been extremely profitable for 2K, but the most profitable Bioshock game was Bioshock 2, which Ken Levine had no input on in terms of direct development.
He chose not to.
Yeah, was it more profitable than Infinite?
It made more money than any Bioshock game. That last I heard, it was the best-selling Bioshock game.
The story is, in case you missed it, Ken Levine people were asking, hey, what's next for you guys now that you're finishing your last DLC episode?
Reasonable question.
And he says that it's not going to be another game that has 200 people on staff. Like, he's shrinking down. He's letting go everybody at Irrational but 15 people.
Right.
And he says he's going to work on games that will be delivered digitally, and that will be like, I believe the quote is like, narrative-driven games with high replayability.
Yeah,
which seems to be an oxymoron.
Well, it seems to be.
I would say think of Hotline Miami. That is a narrative. It is narrative-driven, but the levels inside of it can be replayed over and over and over.
Or do you think it's probably something more like The Walking Dead, except with a lot more branching paths that can lead in a lot of different directions? Because it sounds to me like that'd be something more that Ken Levine would be interested in because he's a story guy.
But there were also some really interesting articles about this, particularly one on Gamasutra.
Mine's the best, though.
You can find Henry's that on GamesRadar, obviously.
No, but Leah...
Alexander.
Leah Alexander. Yeah.
But you
she offered. She presented this viewpoint where she had said, well, it was kind of like this piece about what is the role of games writing when we're doing capital J journalism. And a lot of the things she said was, I had friends working at on BioShock, and they would tell me things, and I would... You know, I couldn't really do anything with them because they're my friends. But really the important point that she was making was, for all we know, this could have been the result of a financial thing. And that 2K said, it is very possible that, yes, maybe Ken Levine said, I want to work on smaller stuff with smaller teams and scaled down. That's one possibility. So is the fact that, or not the fact, but so is...
Likelihood.
The likelihood that maybe 2K said, look, this didn't do well enough. Rational's kind of done, and Levine's like, hold up, what if we just do this? Here's an alternative. Let me keep at least this many people.
The problem I have with this theory is, for this theory to be true, we would basically have to say that what Ken Levine wrote on that website was a lie.
We only know what Levine wrote, and I mean, part of it, I do feel, is it's kind of like PR or him falling on his sword and like, he is taking the blame for it. He's not...
There was no real blame-taking, though.
He was taking responsibility for laying off 200 people.
Right.
Yeah. That's blame, technically.
Yeah, he's saying, these are the games I want to make. I don't want to work with this many people. That the game I want to make doesn't need this many people, so sadly, they have to be let go. If I think, it is worth noting that he still works for 2K, so if it was 2K's or Take-Two's move... It would not be prudent of him to say, yeah, Take-Two's making me fire a bunch of these people, but I look forward to them publishing my next game.
The thing that I that I find weird about this is that studio has made amazing games.
Yeah.
I don't think that it would have been that difficult to find 15 people to replace the 15 people that were leaving to keep... Maybe name it 2K Boston again. Mm-hmm. I just don't understand exactly why they'd find it like, hey, let's just close... Like, unless Ken Levine said that's the way he wanted it, but if it's like Levine says, hey, Take-Two, I want to create smaller games. Let me take these 15 people and make a small studio and do that. And then they would go, okay, but we're going to keep those 200 people that have all moved to Boston and set up their lives and work well together, well enough to make one of the game that sold millions of copies... We're just going to rename them as this, and we're going to friggin' hand them Mafia.
Yeah.
Or something like, we're going to hand them another 2K franchise to take care of.
Give them a game to see if they can work without Levine around.
It just doesn't make sense to me why they'd... Like, it doesn't feel like Ken Levine wanting to go make a smaller studio within Take-Two and, like, needed to also involve the fallout of 200 employees being laid off.
But this is what I wrote about in my commentary piece. Like, this goes to a bigger fear of mine is that... And this was... I was thinking this before Infinite came out, that, like, in the current, economic math that is AAA game development, you don't get to make a game for 5 whole years, that especially one that doesn't have multiplayer and is as expensive as BioShock Infinite was. Like, it was so out there from what pretty much any publisher will give that kind of money to.
The problem there is that the only publisher actually doing that is Take-Two with Grand Theft Auto.
Well, and even I think this shows that even Take-Two has had a line. They're like, this didn't sell 4 million copies is good, but compared to the, they gave that much time and money to GTA 5, and that sold 36 million.
Right.
Big gulf there.
Big difference. It's rather large.
Yeah. So since Infinite couldn't
sell those... Can't do the math, but I think it's 12, times 12.
Since Infinite couldn't hit those kind of numbers, I think they didn't have the same, they weren't as ready to say, like, yeah, take your time next time.
I don't know. I feel like it probably sold well enough to justify this not happening. Ken Levine said it was his decision, and I believe that. I don't think that he had a ton of pressure. I mean, BioShock did really good things for 2K and Take-Two, and they're still planning on making BioShock games, and BioShock games are still going to require a lot of time and a lot of money. So the fact that Ken Levine is no longer there, I mean, honestly, it was probably... if it was anything money-wise, it was Ken Levine saying, like, hey, I want to do other things. You guys could do Bioshock. And they were thinking, oh, we can hand Bioshock to somebody who's going to be able to make them every 3 years instead of every five? Fuck yeah. Now we can make that our Call of Duty. We can have a new, totally different Bioshock every 2 years
something. It's kind of interesting looking at it like that, too, because it's like, this is basically saying we're not going to make this the best game makers, say, Kayvon, don't have to be on the Call of Duty kind of train. They can be making smaller games that are maybe just like one-off games that are downloadable.
Sure. Maybe the mindset is too. So we have Bioshock now. This is an established franchise, and even without him working on it, it's still probably going to sell well regardless going forward.
Yeah.
But what if now we have our powerhouse Levine guy cranking out new narrative-driven franchises that we can start blowing up?
And it's like if he makes a really interesting narrative-driven game that sells well, that is set in a crazy universe, all of a sudden they turn and they take 2K Marin and they say, hey, make a shooter out of this. Like, they can start to turn, like, maybe
like
this is just
IP
them turning him into an IP generator because that is what he does best.
And
that
I've never,
fucking your brains.
I've never done game development, obviously, but I have to imagine it's much easier working on a project when you have a small, close-knit group of people compared to hundreds of people all with, you know, hands in this pie.
Well, and you read about what an auteur he sees himself as, and that he is, like, the guy at his company who
makes... He's the guy.
It's a lot easier to control 15 people than 200 people.
He makes all these
calls. And on that same note, the one concern I have is you look at Telltale, for the last decade, has been doing a good job of coming out with episodic things. And then you had Valve be like, episodic downloadable. That's a good idea. We should do that. And then they do one episode, and then a year and a half later, they do a second episode, and then they burn out and can't do episodes anymore. So do we think that if, like, is a guy like Ken Levine not going to be able to create a small project, or in a year and a half, are we going to hear that he's staffing up to 200 because he realized that this idea would actually work better if it had a huge budget, and Take-Two would probably just say okay.
They probably would give him the money.
How tempting must it be if you know... It's like the song "Common People." He'll never be able to make a game like an indie developer because with a simple call.
Never heard the song.
You just call your dad, and he'll say, "Call your dad. He could stop it all."
Yeah,
he'll never understand.
Is this like "Cats in the Cradle"?
No, it's by Pulp.
In the Cradle,
it's by Pulp, but the significantly better version is sung by William Shatner.
Shatner does a really good version.
But seriously, that song basically is
it's
a hipster saying I want to live like a common person, I want to be poor, but he comes from a millionaire. The first time you see a cockroach on the wall, you're going to call your dad and he's going to send you $500,000 and you're going to buy a penthouse. It's basically that. That's
or
Ken Levine in this situation.
Use that money to kill the cockroach.
Just smack it with the money.
Light
the money on fire and throw it at the cockroach.
It's the only way to get rid of them cockroaches.
I like this idea. What if Batman just lit money on fire and threw it at people?
Ryan and Dave had pointed this out in two separate articles before, that there's just this cycle now of high-level dudes who work on AAA games who then just go, I'm sick of this. I'm leaving to start my own indie thing. I'll make a smaller, cooler game. And it seems like Levine was about to go through that same thing. And as a change of pace, instead of like Ubisoft or Capcom saying, yeah, get out of here. We don't need you. That Take-Two... He says, hey, wait, how about we just work together?
Let's not be so hasty.
Yeah.
You don't have to go indie. You can make an indie game for us. And it's basically what Ubisoft is doing with
Child of Light.
Child of Light.
Yeah. Michelle Ansel.
Which is really cool. Like, maybe this.
Maybe
really
the big-time publishers
have
learned something.
What if, so like there's like 200 people, what if instead of shutting down Irrational, they just did like essentially the Amnesia Fortnite, what Double Fine did, except they're just like, all right, we have enough people, let's make 20 games. And then all of a sudden they were just making 20 games with freaking Ken Levine walking around the office being like, make that trippier, add in a gun. That's the future of game design. A giant studio
game
making
jams.
Dozens of games at a time.
Unending games.
Unending. My life is a game jam.
That's Zynga.
It does really suck for the irrational people, though.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Yeah. It's terrible.
Yes. Let's move on to the other weird story from this week. According to an art book that ended up on PC Gamer's desk, which we walked over and stole.
By extension, our desk.
Yeah.
They're like,
Titanfall,
what is this garbage?
Titanfall has monsters in it.
Yeah, well, that was a surprise.
Like, not just creatures, because some of the pages are like, there's birds, but there are freaking monsters that are huge.
My mind immediately went to Lost Planet.
I was thinking more Pacific Rim.
Oh.
I was thinking of the flood from Halo 1, how they kept the flood a secret this whole time, and this is how they're...
I was really impressed that it's been kind of... You know, nobody knew about it until this art book kind of happened.
And right before the art book came out, there was an ad that had, like, a monster in the background, and everyone was like, what the fuck
is this
that?
Interesting, though?
It's pretty interesting.
So. Well, I mean, it's just interesting in that they've kept it so close to the chest.
Hit. Well, probably because it's like, well, this isn't interesting. You guys don't actually want to know about it.
No, I think it's because they probably wanted people to be surprised by it.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, like, think of it this way. The beta just came out, and the beta was Call of Duty with mechs and parkour, and everyone was like, wow, this changes everything. And then to find out, oh, yeah, there are also monsters at some point in the
game.
Do we
know
if, like,
you can fight the monsters?
Yes.
It says in there that some monsters will just only engage you if you engage them, while others will go out of their way to fight you. And, I mean, I'm guessing that they could just work. I mean, there's already AI-controlled teammates. If there was just, like, a fucking giant lion running around the map trying to kill you while you're playing Team Deathmatch, holy shit, that's actually really interesting, and
but
it would totally change the dynamics.
What is a giant lion going to do to metal and steel?
You're not always
it
in
a space
Titans.
Lion.
A space lion.
There were some space lions. But there were also, what's the name of the
like
dinosaur with the giant neck?
Brontosaurus.
There was one that looked 10 times bigger than a brontosaurus.
A brontosaurus. Didn't it get its name changed?
It did.
Brachiosaurus.
Sorry, I'm old school, guys.
why would they change the name?
So I found out why.
Okay.
Brachiosaurus had already existed.
Right.
So there was a brachiosaurus and there was a brontosaurus.
Right.
And over time, they realized, you know what doesn't exist? A brontosaurus. This is just a brachiosaurus at a different age.
With, like, a goofy neck.
Yeah, that was pretty much it. They were like, oh, this is a small brachiosaurus. We've just been calling it a different species, even though it's just, like, a 15-year-old one instead of a 30-year-old
one. How tall is a brachiosaurus?
Fucking 13 tall. Feet.
That's, 13 feet tall?
That's actually...
It's like a giraffe size.
That's smaller than a giraffe, I think.
This is science.
They're so big that if you hit their tail, it takes a long time for the pain to come to their
You're
brain.
Thinking of Snorlax.
I'm saying this is...
but anyway,
I read a lot about dinosaurs as a kid.
Yeah. Monsters. I'm excited because I think that they could lead to some. That could be one of the bigger game changing things in the game.
Oh, yeah.
Even if one of the modes is just like it's team deathmatch and also Brachiosauri.
Yeah.
That's what happens when somebody pokes you in the eye.
I like that about it, and I would say that in today's. What I like about this news is that in today's atmosphere of how games get announced and previewed to hell and they show you a million trailers of every aspect of it, that they were conservative enough to go like, no, we have this thing. We don't want to talk about it. Like, just let people be surprised. I'm actually kind of disappointed that, like, the art book spoiled it before it happened. I would love it to be like how Metal Gear Solid 2 and Halo work, that they just presented you this whole thing, and then when everybody plays it, the first person you know to play it will go like, shit, this whole other thing, this completely changes everything.
Yeah, like, and but at the same time, they've shown off two maps. There are apparently like 12 that are in the art book, but we've never seen them in engine or even what they could be like. So just the idea that every time you play the game, for the first few weeks, you're going to be playing a map that you're not familiar with. Besides the fact that it's a new game, like, they haven't even previewed any of those things. The beta only had two. So,
yeah.
I'm excited for fighting some Brachiosauri.
Mm.
Moving on to previews. We talked about a bunch of Sony stuff last week, but this week we can talk about one that might be the most exciting, despite not knowing anything about it. The Order 1886 or 1866?
1886.
And you guys both saw it.
Yes. Yeah, we saw five minutes of gameplay footage.
Sony certainly didn't overshare in this case, that's for sure.
Why?
Are there monsters in it?
Why 1886?
There are, but we didn't see them.
Because 1886 hits the sweet spot of Victorian meets steampunk design they like so much.
Well, my understanding is this is a very important year in the game's lore, and I think that's why they chose that.
All right.
Yes.
Both of those things.
So I really love the premise of this game, and I think it's just really cool. Like, I'm very intrigued by Arthurian legend in the first place, but for them to be like, okay, so what if mankind discovers this black liquid? And if you watch the most recent trailer that had absolutely zero gameplay in it, you see, like, this black liquid dripping down, and supposedly mankind finds this stuff.
Is it zero?
And no, it's like, it's basically like extends whoever uses it, like, it extends their lives by many, many, many years. And so what happens is But it also has, I don't know if it's the liquid or something else has this effect on mankind where some of the people start turning into half human, half monsters, kind of like werewolves.
Basically werewolves.
Yeah. And,
essentially werewolves.
And they're just called,
fundamentally.
What are they called? Half-breeds?
Believe
I think
it,
is what the game calls them.
The terminology.
And, mudbloods.
But anyways, they start to like
kill humans.
Jesus fucking Christ. They start killing people. And so people got to fight back.
Got to fight back.
But because... But
rise up.
But the reason this year is important is because this is that's why. This is when the Industrial Revolution kicks into full swing.
Mm. Yeah, they start fighting. Humans have been losing to the half-breeds for a while, but now with the tech, they've been winning.
Yeah, they finally start having an edge because they have guns now, which is a new thing. And I really like that it makes it, they were saying, like, you know, we wanted to make sure, obviously, we didn't have these kinds of weapons and technology then, clearly. Mm-hmm. But what we want to do is when we're making them in the game, we want them to look like they're things that could have existed with materials that were commonly used in the time. So it's like, that's why you kind of had these really old-looking electricity guns that were really, really cool. Mm-hmm. But,
they,
you know.
Say, like, these parts existed.
Yeah. But
technically, they had glass with a wire in it. So,
but yeah, you're playing as members of the Order, this group dedicated to fighting the half-breeds.
An elite fighting squad.
And my favorite part about them is that they are I don't know if they're descendants, but their code
their
names,
codes, yeah.
their titles are named after Arthurian knights. So you play
knights
mainly
the round table.
Galahad, Lafayette was in there. Percival is kind of like your commander that speaks to you over like your little earpiece.
You know Lancelot's going to have to be in there.
I'm sure Lancelot's going to be in there, and everyone's going to have to act surprised when he ends up being a
But I think these knights are these members of the Order are also fairly old in terms of
like
age.
Hundreds of years
well,
old.
Like,
because
they've
had their
they've
lives
been,
extended
yeah,
by
yeah.
that juice.
I mean, if they're at least like 500 years old, they could be.
When
is Arthurian legend supposed
but
to?
In like the 1400s.
Yeah, the 400
and so
years
what
old.
It what it said wow. was I was and I don't know if this is true, but I think this was through some of maybe what Game Informer uncovered when they were doing their cover reveal or however this game kind of came got announced. I don't recall E3 right?
Nope.
It was an E3 trailer and then they had a cut. They
it was shown
Game
off
Informer
at the first
the
thing,
first
wasn't it?
Info.
Wasn't it shown off at the Sony?
Yeah, it was
oh,
a trailer.
Maybe,
at Sony's E3.
But in any case, I guess like these are second or third generation knights in the Order that you're playing as. So, anyways, I just really like that premise. But the gameplay we saw. Looked
brief,
basically like Gears of War.
Brief, yeah. Well, it looked great.
Yeah.
It looked really good. And this is by, if you didn't know, this is by Ready at Dawn, the guys who before their biggest games were the God of War spinoffs on
PSP.
Which, by the way, were super good. Like, that's not, I mean, it's not like finding out that they made the Daxter game on PSP. It's like the God of War games felt as much like God of War games as the console ones, despite being on a tenth of the hardware.
I mean, they
hardware.
Did make Daxter on PSP.
Did they?
Yes.
Yeah, actually, they did. Yeah, you're right.
I was like, why did you call that one out?
Okay. I meant Secret Agent Clank. Mm-hmm.
Dexter.
That was made by, yeah, that was a
Dexter all right,
Morgan.
But reverse that.
Right. They wanted to Alvin show, and the Chipmunks.
They wanted to show off how good. They were definitely PSP. Very prideful of how the cutscenes and the gameplay looked very close, if not the same.
I think they were identical, yeah.
In the engine.
I'm reticent to say identical without seeing a little more of it, but And
nearly indistinguishable.
But the gameplay mix was that they briefly showed was so weird because it was first cutscene of talking about, like, they were attacking Whitechapel. And then...
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's how this old bloke took. They're attacking Whitechapel, mate.
Hello, Governor.
It did not sound
No, they
all the werewolves!
You're not attacking werewolves. See, now there's been an uprising. It's class warfare.
Mm.
The order
the rabble.
The Order is being accused of choosing to really only protect the upper class people while the lower class people are left to die by the werewolves. So the lower class is rising up and you're fighting these low class losers.
So it's a three-way war.
Yeah. But you're also killing poor people and werewolves.
So are they
okay with
so
that. Oh yeah.
Are they just the stranded?
I would say maybe they are the stranded. More so they remind me of the locusts, I'd say.
Oh.
But
okay.
But yeah, so then the guy jumps it, like they have a brief conversation. Then you do a classic Uncharted mega jump and then land and walk and talk. Then you come to an alleyway, and then it's time for. And then it becomes a very much like Gears of War. Like they were hiding behind cover.
Which for no reason would that piece of fucking cement just be there in an alleyway.
It's an alternate universe. You know, maybe architecture works differently.
It's a chicane.
It's literally a waist-high brick wall. Like, that only covers half of an alleyway.
Have you been to Berkeley? They got that shit everywhere.
Yeah, there are a few.
Ooh, I want to make a game that takes place in Berkeley.
To drive through Berkeley without hitting something like that.
Stand corrected.
But then he got shot up. The screen went red. Then he hid, and it got less red. And then he killed a dude, and then came the...
just like Berkeley.
Like, the branching... Then
that was Tom's drive to work today.
Quick time event.
Yeah, the branching quick time event, which was like a fight over a knife. And
you mash a button to pick up the knife, but if you don't pick up the knife, something else would have happened.
It's not game over, necessarily. And then it went back to a new cutscene. But that was one of the neatest parts after that, where it's a cutscene where the guy's like, hey, we found their weapon cache. And you open it up. The guy pulls the weapon out of there, and then you have control in that scene. Like, the scene seems to have made no shift to gameplay, but you can move around the weapon to look at it in it, and then the conversation resumes.
That's
kind of cool.
Does the PS3 or PS4 have a God of War or Gears of War clone?
Not a first-party one. The closest thing is technically Uncharted's a cover shooter when it's being a cover shooter, but they didn't have...
pretty far off.
They had some third-party attempts. What was that one that was just, like, Gears of War except shitty?
Quantum Theory?
Yes, Quantum something. Was it Theory? Starhawk?
It wasn't Quantum Conundrum. No.
Wasn't it? Was that a Japanese-made game?
Yeah, it was.
Mm-hmm.
Quantum
so
something.
It sounds like while if you have an... like, this is a PS4 exclusive, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's not like a altogether well-tread ground if you're...
Well, and the thing is, we saw such a brief little glimpse. Little. Like, literally one firefight that lasted 3 shots and then it was over.
Is that supposed to come out this year?
They said.
So, supposedly, yeah.
I believe in we had two separate preview demonstrations, but I think they pretty much were on the same script both times. But he said in mind that they are working very hard to get it out in 2014, which
awesome.
I think is code for
August,
early 2015.
August 2015.
Yeah. Yes, but they say.
But anyways, I don't want to, you know, be like, nope, it's definitely just a Gears of War clone because
we saw
tiny little chunk.
I feel like
plus,
the branching...
Gears of War is kind of fun.
It is fun.
There are worse things to be than a Gears of War.
And according to most sources, Gears of War 4 started development literally 5 days ago. Like, it started when they bought that license, so we're still at least 2.5-3 years from a new Gears, because they have to build a new next-gen engine and everything.
Right.
It'd be weird if Gears wasn't on Unreal 4. That'd be strange.
That'd be really strange.
But yeah, I don't want to sound too negative about it. I did want to point out that, yeah, when the combat became Gears, I was like, oh, this is Gears. But it was so short, who knows what the whole game is going to be, and it looked fantastic.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think they're trying a lot of interesting things with it.
Cool. All
Thanks
right.
For the story.
Looks very interesting. Let's jump over to reviews. Ryan, you didn't review it, but you played through Strider.
Yeah.
This is said so little.
Yeah. I really, really
I'm
like
a listener.
This. It's really, really fun. It's a side scroller kind of Metroidvania. They rebuilt it as like a Metroidvania kind of game, and so you're running, slicing dudes up, and like the momentum is super, super fast, and I just love that you're just sprinting along, slicing as you go, and doing, you know, that signature cartwheel flip while you're cutting through the air. And you get, you know, plenty of new upgrades and abilities along the way that you can, and you can then backtrack to find if you want. But one thing that I thought was really cool and that David pointed out in his review is that the sense of forward momentum is really well done. You're never like, oh, I have to go back to this spot to do this thing now. It's you're always kind of running to like the same side or upper, you know, traveling the level up or down. But it always feels like you're just going forward. It never feels like you're going back. And so it's kind of cool the way that the entire story was designed in terms of just the level layout.
How are the bosses?
The bosses are really fun, and I liked that they were kind of a really good test of your skill, I think. Although I did find it a little easy to abuse the throwing knives you get, the kunai, I think what they're called.
They were pretty broke in the original game.
Yeah.
That was just trying to keep it
Yeah, the swordplay in this one is really fun, though. I liked it a lot. I got really frustrated later. There are some enemies that you get, like, this ice power-up where you can freeze people, and enemies start freezing you, and that was just kind of really annoying because it totally like roadblocked the momentum, you know. It just broke things up so much.
Do you fight the entire Russian parliament?
Yeah, you fight a lot of Russians.
Okay.
And well, and robot dragons and a lot of the, you know, a lot of the enemies that people played.
Cuz the famous Strider boss fight I remember is the end of the first level where you go into literally the Russian parliament building, Congress. It looks a lot like American Congress, and then some guy like yells at you, and then the entirety, every guy in the room then turns into like basically a human centipede, a giant human centipede that then chases you around.
You do fight like a robot dragon that looks sort of like a centipede, and it's like the first boss you fight.
Ah,
I think that's probably a nod to that.
How is the difficulty? Because I remember in the preview I played, I was dying on like the first screen. And I'm no slouch when it comes to
platform. I didn't think
platform.
It was that
You're
tough.
Kind of
I was
slouch.
Playing on normal. I didn't really have that much of a problem until I started getting to people that would freeze you. And literally, you'd just be stuck there in place for like 3 or 4
getting
seconds.
Getting wailed on.
And people are just shooting you. It's just super annoying. But no, I didn't think it was that tough until a little bit later in the game.
So
appropriately it got really challenging, difficult. Yeah.
Cool. And what did we score it?
We gave it a 4.5 out of 5.
Awesome. I this weekend I tried to use. I don't know if you go into a game profile on Xbox, but there's like screenshots, but the videos that it gives you, if the game is out, are all things that the community has uploaded.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's
which,
cool.
In theory, it's cool, but there's no way for them to be reviewed. So the two that were on there, one was a boss, which didn't really show. It was just a boss, so it was like a 12-second clip of Strider standing still and attacking a guy. And the second video was a 40-second-long video of somebody changing options.
Oh, good. Oh, good.
Somebody could spoil something in there, too, pretty easily.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was very interesting to see how poorly managed that was. But I'm excited to play it. That sounds really fun.
Yeah,
that sounds
really
fun.
Flashy and fast-paced.
All right. When does that come out?
Like
4 days
week,
ago.
Or last or already.
I got to play that.
I don't remember.
So, moving on, Lucas, you put a lot of time into Danky Kang Tropical Freeze, which I wrote down as such because I wanted a...
You actually wrote it down as Danky Kang Country Returns.
Yeah, I did. I did write it down wrong.
I got a good one on this Tuesday's live stream, 9 to 11 p.m. PST. Mm-hmm. Danky Kang Stanky Dank.
Oh,
Stanky Dank.
Is what I prefer to smoke on my free time.
Stanky Dank.
Danky Kang Stanky Dank.
Danky Kang's Stanky Dang.
Oh.
No, guys, winners don't use drugs. But Tropical Freeze.
But Stanky Dank is. All winners use Stanky Dank. We should market Stanky Dank.
We should.
I think we've got
that.
A plan here.
Soulja Boy has a song about Stanky Dank. I'm
Does
pretty
he?
Sure.
It's called Stanky Dank.
Soulja Boy Stanky Dank.
That's how it
That's
goes.
Not a song, but it very well could be, which is sad.
So,
all right, I regret
Donkey
that one.
Kong
SBSD.
Tropical Freeze. I feel like the video review that I did with Henry summed it up oh so well, but I'll give you guys the abridged version.
We'd appreciate it.
This game is pretty much more of what was offered in Retro Studios' Donkey Kong Country Returns, but it's more of a good thing, so you mm-hmm. don't really mind.
Hey, you want to talk about the second level?
The second level boss, as
played.
Shown to me by Tom Agrina.
Uh-huh. Gotcha.
How many lives did you expend?
10. Something minimal.
So, I mean, you never did end up beating it, but you
hey.
Got pretty far.
Hey.
Wow.
You showed me things I hadn't seen before,
That's
and
right.
I appreciate it.
I opened you up to new experiences.
He held your hand
horizons.
And walked you through that door.
Yeah.
So it is a very difficult game, but...
it's not that bad.
Do they super guide you?
No, they. I did
that
not.
That game was hard as fuck, actually.
Well, it's just very hard for the aesthetic that it looks because it's a very kid friendly. It's colorful. It's cheery. The music is really upbeat, but the difficulty curve just gets
brutal.
Going right away.
Yeah, it does.
Like
super brutal.
As soon as the first world, I was like, "Wow, I've fallen into the same pit 6 times. I need to step it up here.
I need to make different decisions.
Yeah.
Reevaluate my life.
Yeah,
stare
but
in the shower mirror for a little while until it fogs up, and then I punch it.
Right. You know what really interests me about that game is that it was like it was made by Retro, an American studio, but. I believe the director and several other high-ranking people at Retro on this game were, like, Nintendo vets. Like, the director of Super Mario Bros. 2 the director of this game.
That might be because, as I learned recently, pretty much everyone in charge of Retro who made Metroid Prime left a few years ago.
Yep.
So it makes sense that they've just been churning out games under Nintendo supervision since then.
It better than closing it down, right, Ken Levine?
Oh!
up top, Henry.
Again, sorry. About people who are
in
right
an
off.
Alternate universe that where he travels through a portal and listens to this podcast, he'd be very upset to hear about that.
In any case, Tropical Freeze.
You are so proud of that terrible joke. Wow, I've never seen you so happy.
We wanted to hear Lucas talk. I feel bad.
I realized something. The art of podcasting is about knowing when to interrupt. Uh-huh. And I don't have that skill.
Tropical Freeze?
So Tropical Freeze is it's a really fun game. Like, it's fun to overcome these challenges that are based on good controls this time around because you don't have to waggle. There's bullshes. It's
an option. You could turn on the nunchucking controller.
Yeah. But they in no way force you to do that, and it's for the best. But it's kind of weird. The gamepad isn't used whatsoever, which
very strange.
I guess I didn't really mind, but as one of the bigger flagship Wii U games, you'd think they would require it in some way
I feel like it could have been, like, there's a lot of instances where you are in a barrel that shoots to another barrel that shoots to another barrel. It's like, even small things like that could have been interesting if you were tapping along, like those levels in Rayman, the ones that are, like, musical platformer sections. Mm-hmm. Stuff like that could have worked.
I mean, in the most recent Mario game, why am I blanking on the name?
Mario 3D World.
You didn't really use the gamepad, save for a few select times, and every time I used it, I'm like, I'd really prefer not
to be
using this
right
now.
There were three levels.
I think there was one level per world, but there were also a lot of optional things you could use. You at least had the option to, like, tap an enemy to stun him, sort of thing was all in there.
Blow on the screen to blow away light enemies.
Yeah, and it's like, it feels like, in this game especially, since it's difficult as shit, having a second person just being there to help you with, like, stunning enemies would actually have been something that would have
You can actually do that in co-op, but the co-op is not great. You and I played it, Coop, and it was just a shiz show.
It was,
basically.
Yeah.
It was like one person would fall in a pit, then the other person would have to jump and get the barrel that frees that person, mm-hmm. which also expends a life, and then that person would fall down a pit, and it was just like
daisy chaining failure, basically.
Yeah.
Daisy Kong chaining.
That's not.
I'm going to go back to leapfrogging because that one's not going to have a pun.
There's Candy Kong, which is close.
Kitty Kong?
Kitty Kong is a thing.
Is it?
Yeah.
What's the hot chick?
What's the hot
one? Candy Kong.
Candy.
Okay.
There's Candy. Also an underage one, which is...
Trixie?
Yeah.
No, oh, my God. I can't remember her name.
Gross. Tiny Kong?
Tiny?
I can't remember. No, Tiny's the big
one. DK64.
Yeah.
Don't even
Baby Kong.
Talk about DK.
She can shrink really small. I know that because yesterday I was reading about. I was reading the lyrics of the DK rap. That's what I did yesterday with my
if
last
shoots
night.
Yeah, it's gonna hurt.
It's gonna hurt with his coconut gun.
That is not up for debate.
It's canon.
But in conclusion, I guess Tropical Freeze is what I wanted out of another Donkey Kong game, which is a game that's very pretty to look at, with very tight controls that demands you get better real quick in order to progress through the game. And I haven't even beaten, like, the secret world, which I did in Returns 3D, so I want to go back and do it in Tropical Freeze, but I know it's going to take, like, hours and hours
at least 10
play.
Hours.
A long time.
I could do it in 10 minutes.
I mean, you showed some...
Well,
that's what's crazy, Tom. You showed growth from, like, this game's so stupid, and then 10 minutes later, you're like, I almost got this. So it was the same difficulty.
I showed
Tom
growth.
Like that game is more than he liked most things in the entire
place. Is it the Dark Souls of Donkey Kong games?
There's a Dark Souls element to it, yeah.
The
element of, shit, I just died, but I should have not
died
there.
It's like, yeah, I learned something from that death, and next time I won't make that same mistake.
And I'm also just going to repeatedly throw myself at this encounter because I've done it so
many times.
Because I can do this.
Well, though I have seen this reaction from Tom before, with 3D World, when we played 3D World on the stream... You were the last person I thought who would go like, no, one more time. I got this. One more time. No, let's again.
Those are the only kind of games I like.
You like a little bit of punishment and a little bit of pleasure.
And a little bit of... yeah.
Oh, my God. We just learned so much about Tom.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Henry got a very funny smirk on his face at that exact moment.
And with that, I think we're going to...
Wait. Before this segment ends.
Before that ends, I ended up giving Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze 4 stars out of 5.
Oh, what did you give Jazz Punk?
So I also reviewed Jazz Punk, gave that a 4 out of 5, and I've reviewed Earth Defense Force 2025, which got a 3 out of 5. You can read all three of those reviews on GamesRadar.com.
Before we disembark, in the future, these three dudes are in a game bunker.
Oh, yeah.
And I feel like, because
pimping
you guys were able to come back in time with us today, you should tell our listeners why they should listen.
And watch. Okay, so
it works both ways.
Basically, Radar Plays was a lot of fun.
Uh-huh.
People liked it.
Yeah.
Not a lot of people watched it.
Yeah.
But the people that did watch it loved it.
Yeah.
Then it died.
Uh-huh.
And their main criticism.
And their main criticism was that there
too
wasn't
much
enough.
Coop.
Main criticism, Mo cuts.
A lot of, you know, well.
Well, it was just unedited. So, but now.
It was
the,
raw.
The concept of us playing a game together in front of a camera has returned,
it's
but in
reborn.
A whole new mode of Game Bunker, which I think is a lot more fun, where, you know, it's the three of us. We are...
Best friends.
Mm-hmm. Trapped
Accurate.
Together post-apocalypse in a game bunker filled with every video game in the world, and we're going to play one every week for approximately 80 years. I've played this show the last 80 years.
Yeah.
There's
anyone,
a Google Doc that
we
has
got
all
some,
that.
We got some rations.
Yeah. Well, and we only even know this is a thing because we've seen transmissions of ourselves sent from the future.
Oh,
which
is
you haven't
aged
trippy
much.
Every time.
Yeah, I know. It's super weird. I guess
radiation.
probably mankind does, in fact, discover that black juice real quick.
That black juice.
We all drink it up.
Again, it's Coke Zero. We've discussed this.
But yeah, we had some fun episodes so far. We started with the Super Mario Brothers 2, a.k.a. Lost Levels, the Japanese Super Mario Brothers 2, which was fun and very frustrating. I got very angry at stuff.
And people liked that. And then we played BMX XXX.
XXX.
Got a little titillated.
Rode around on a bike and look at some titties.
Except not Jesus. Because...
what the hell?
That's you got to preface that with that's
reference.
A penny
that's
arcade.
A penny, that was the penny arcade.
Because without that, you just sound like a creep.
I think it's so funny, though.
It's,
but it's not me sounding like a creep. It's Gabe sounding like a creep.
Well, then we did... Revengeance, which we only did because Henry and I had some stories that we thought maybe people would find interesting about our experience in Japan looking at that game.
And they are interesting. You know, I refuse to tell those stories on this podcast. You have to listen
to
Revengeance.
To
it's an exclusive.
If you want to hear them.
And I'm really excited about the next episode.
Yeah,
I have an inkling that maybe it'll be really good. I don't know what it is,
I think
of course, because
be
we haven't
so
sent
far.
It from the future yet.
Yeah.
But I think maybe it'll be an excellent episode.
So here's the other thing about this show. Just like True Detective, there are things that you will learn if you pay attention about the future.
Subtle
the end of
details.
The world, how it happened, who dies first.
You can ask a lot
who's the Yellow King?
Who is the Yellow King? If one of you loyal Radio Radar listeners wanted to create like a Wikipedia page or a subreddit,
Game Bunker subreddit.
Figuring out the mystery.
The final thing you should know about Game Bunker before we transition into the next segment is that you must tell your friends to watch it.
Yeah.
Every person you know.
It can only survive.
Because its survival is very dependent
it's
on a
like,
certain thing.
It's like
on the
Tinkerbell.
Yeah.
Called
it's,
you have to clap
view numbers.
Yeah. It so, runs off of the view number juice.
That's
like the black juice?
Yeah.
So that's a thing.
And you,
keep that in mind.
You gotta turn on the video, and then if you don't like it, just let it play.
Don't worry, you can leave and come back, and there's a good chance it'll still be
just
playing.
Mute it.
Yeah,
mute
just
it
fucking
play.
Mute it.
If it makes you happier,
minimize the window.
Like if you hate hearing us even talk, just mute it and make fun of our fat bodies.
Yeah.
Except for Lucas,
and
he's a strapping
like
young
button.
Lad.
Yeah.
Well, we're all slimming down, aren't we?
Yeah.
We're all gonna get into the.
I've lost 4 pounds in the past 3 days.
Right as on. It would turn out, you're going to fail because I've seen the future.
Fuck. So have I. I might as well give up now.
Yeah.
This is how I fail. All right. That'll,
all
we
right.
should transition.
Yeah. Game Bunker, watch it.
Welcome to the third segment, the community segment. I still don't have my laptop, so...
Does it start with Radio Radar?
Radar community segment.
Wait for it.
With Greg Henniger.
Brow! the bright spot of my week still.
I like how you like really, oh, yeah. really get into it. You like arch your back
pose.
And you kind of just
cat pose. Yeah. Because I got to channel the cat, you know.
Yeah.
Cat
like,
pose.
Like coughing up a hair. You're doing one like a hairball.
It's the hairball tactic. Yeah.
You've turned into a bit of a cat,
dude. I am.
Tom's a cat man.
I'm a cat man.
Dope.
I want to do a vine of Tom doing the growl. You ready?
I'm ready.
When my finger goes down and points to you, you do the growl. You ready? So radio radar immunity segment. Greg Henniger. Growl.
Did you catch the beginning of it?
Let's say I did. Anyway, community segment.
Yes. Last week's question of the week was what was it? Something like,
what?
Do you have a crush on a video game character?
Yes, it was. Have
yes,
you
it
ever?
Was. Have you ever had a crush? And we got some fantastic answers. Oh no! Before we get into those,
I'm excited.
Corrections,
clarifications, retractions, acknowledgments, apologies.
I don't think we have any.
That's bizarre.
I'm sure
there were no corrections in the comments.
And if there are corrections, and Greg didn't find them, next week a correction from this episode would have been that there were corrections.
That's true. Shocksta finally got his driver's license, and so he is now a driving buddy.
Oh,
congratulations,
good.
Shocksta.
Oh,
one of our new driving buddies.
Our readers growing up.
That's true.
It's cute.
And speaking of one of our readers, Cody Stovall has graced us with one of the coolest pieces of fan...
What are you going to call it?
Project art, pretty much.
Project art.
Project art. This isn't just one piece of fan art. This is...
It's a project.
This is a whole...
It's a CCG.
He created a card game.
Yeah.
Kind of like Magic, based around... All of us here in the office and
lousy with inside jokes.
Yeah, lousy with inside jokes. So we've got the Lufthansa.
Mm-hmm.
What is it? It's an item. The effect is that the character's attack is reduced by 2. There's a whole like.
Go through. Just keep reading some.
All right. Let's see.
Fortified dog fart.
Fortified dog farts.
Effect. It's an assist actually, but effect. Select one of your characters. Increase that character's defense by 4 until your next turn.
Top 7, pick a number between 1 and 7, then flip a coin. If heads, all your characters gain HP by that number. If tails, all your characters lose HP by that number.
Emblem of Self-Loathing.
Mm-hmm.
That's an item. Effect, select one of your characters. Lower that character's attack and defense by 2. If an opponent... if an opponent's character attacks this character, they lose 2 HP.
Now we have a character.
There's Midnight Shame Donut as well.
Oh, Midnight Shame Donut.
Select one of your characters. That character loses 2 HP. Raise that character's attack by 2.
My favorite thing is that it's not like Midnight Shame Donut. You have to talk about a sad thing. It's like there are game mechanics.
Yeah,
in
definitely.
This.
And then there are the character cards. I'll read my own. Greg Henniger. HP 19. Attack 4. Defense 3. Oh. Effect Sexy Growl. Once per turn, you can select one of your opponent's characters, lower their defense by 2 for the rest of the turn.
Can you go ahead and
you want to read yours?
Can you play that move right now?
So Sophia has hella HP, 30. Attack
1.
Yeah, attack 1, defense 1. Effect Hail to the Chief. When this character is selected as an attack target, before damage, halve the attack of the attacking character. Character's attack stays halved until the end of the turn.
I have
Sophia's OP is
I
jail.
Have, I have
OP
two, and I'm going to read my second one. There's a fanboy coupe card. It's a special character. He has no HP.
Zero HP.
6 attack, 2 defense. His effect is incessant babble. During your turn, lower all opponent's character's defense by 2 until the end of your turn, and then during your opponent's turn, lower all of your character's defense by 3 until the end of turn. And I love that the image of fanboy coupe is... It looks like it's me behind a desk.
If you were
a puppet.
If you were like
if
a Muppet.
A puppet. Also, yeah. He has a lot more hair than I have.
Mm-hmm. He really does.
I'll read mine. HP 18, attack 2, defense 4. Effect Macho Man. After this card takes HP damage, increase defense by 2 for the rest of the turn.
Lucas's effect is shiz the bed.
I'm actually kind of like a weak character.
Read yours, Tom.
HP 1.
Oh.
Attack 1. Defense 4. Effect, I'm not doing this. When this character is attacked, the character that attacked cannot attack next turn, and that character's defense becomes 0 for the rest of the game. I mean, I'm quite the...
You're a debuff.
I'm a debuff.
Oh, man.
I'm going to debuff the shiz out of you.
Oh, Ryan's. We'll say Ryan's, and then we'll close out. Ryan, HP 20. It's pretty huge. Attack 8, defense one.
Mm-hmm.
I did just throw a football at him before we came in here.
He bruised him.
And it hit his arm, and he started tearing up a little bit.
He squealed.
So he does have defense one.
Ryan is famously and has openly admitted that though he can dish, he cannot take.
His effect is the motivational belly rub. Mm-hmm. Once per turn, select one of your characters. That character can attack twice this turn, but cannot attack next turn.
Out of shame.
Out of pure shame. So that is the Games Radar TGC created
by
Cody Stovall.
We'll probably learn it and live stream it at some point.
Yeah, and I'm going to print out a ton more of these, and if you win something, I'm going to send you your very own copy of the Games Radar TCG game.
Ooh, we should just, honestly, since all of them have cool card names and stuff, we could probably just play it on the podcast one time.
It is lousy with awesome art, too.
It's lousy
like,
with
Cody Stovall, you really knocked it out of the park, dude.
You done did it.
I'm pretty grumpy. I don't even know. I guess I'm sitting on the
that
floor.
That doesn't seem like you at all.
Yeah, it's like you're sitting in the corner pouting in that card.
You just did a pout that is identical to the one in the picture.
All right, back to last week's question of the week. Have you ever had a gaming crush? Sunny D said Tally from Mouse Effect.
Oh, yeah. Tally is good because of the – you can't see her face,
you can't
so
really
it's
tell.
Left to your imagination.
Her voice is what gets to me, the voice of an angel, he says. Mm. Also, Margaret from Regular Show gets a shout-out because of the confusing feelings I got from – and then he put a YouTube link.
Yep.
And it was Margaret riding a bike, mm-hmm. and her breasts were large and in charge, and then as she was riding away, there was a dad-ass moment.
No, yeah, Margaret's definitely...
Who is Margaret?
How they get away with
regular
that?
Regular show. Margaret is a,
like a
robin.
Fox, right?
No, she's like a robin.
Oh, she's a bird?
She's a bird.
As a bird.
Which, I mean, birds have breasts. Chickens have breasts. You eat them.
Yeah, dad-ass.
Yeah, they have a cute relationship. I remember Adventure Time got away... Well, they get away with so many things, but... There was one that I thought, no, this is like a sex dream that like that Finn has about he was dating, what, Fire Princess was her name,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he was dating Fire Princess.
But he couldn't touch her because she was on fire, so it
that's something that happens.
It allowed nothing physical to happen in their relationship. But then he had a dream where he kissed her and he was lit on fire, but it didn't hurt. And I was like, well, then this is a sex dream.
Yep.
But they don't come out and say it.
No. There's also... I like Adventure Time.
Tom approves, by the way.
There was an Adventure Time recently where there's a character discusses how he wants to go into... It reminded me of something that this podcast discusses, but a character was wanting to go into the Fire Kingdom in particular, and they went like, why is your reason? He's like, I have to drop off a note. Also, I like to use your bathrooms here. Also, I like to crop dust the lobby.
All right. Next, we got Stray Gator.
Trigger.
He says, actually, it's a movie character, but I haven't seen the movie yet, but I've played the game, so here goes.
What?
I'm excited.
Unikitty. It's that My Little Pony knockoff from the Lego movie.
Voiced by Alison Brie.
I didn't find her attractive per se, not until she puts on the glasses and tie and starts talking business talk. Literally, her line was, business, 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 numbers, is this working? That strong, independent facade, barely belying a wholesome, innocent inner core. There is a tongue twister. Mm-hmm. It just pushes all the right buttons. I was just confused. I don't know who I am anymore.
Well, listening to her voice reminded me of her character from Community, who I have a crush on. So I can respect that.
It's hard not to fall in love with Annie.
Yeah. I mean, Unikitty, in case you haven't seen the movie or played the game, it's a kitty with a unicorn horn. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sure you could put that together yourself, but... There you go.
Spoilers. Jeez.
Tyranitan said, it's the pink hair. Always has been. My first gaming crush was Kairi from Kingdom Hearts. I was only 11 or
Kairi.
So. Kairi. Sorry, didn't play Kingdom Hearts. I was only 11 or so it wasn't creepy. Now the long-running crush, of course, has been Lightning from Final Fantasy 13. If I've owned a device where I could choose a wallpaper, she's been there. And just recently, both, what is that, 11... Oh, Vi and Fiora from League of Legends captured my attention.
Oh, hell yeah.
You're in.
Oh, yeah.
You understand that.
Would you want...
So there's a lot of dead-ass moments in the art for League of Legends.
Right.
They just... Whoever is their artist, they do those... He's a butt man.
Boobs and butt poses. The super... Like, people have tried to... Like, women have made websites. There's a website called Escher Girls where it's just real people trying to do the poses in video game art and comic art, and it's impossible. You would die.
Sivir, specifically. Impossible. Couldn't do it.
So you can get behind this one, Tom?
But Fiora, she's a classy lady. And Vi is an animal.
Oh,
yeah.
Is Vi the one with Hulk hands?
She is.
Would you want her to leave the Hulk hands on?
Cyborg.
Is she a furry?
No, she's a human. Okay. She's kind of a cyborg steampunk thing going for her.
All right. I'd want her to take the Hulk hands off.
I mean, it would probably be necessary because she would crush you.
Yeah.
Polar Zombies.
Any part of you.
Said,
it would be crushed.
Since I just finished playing through Arkham Asylum, I would probably have to say that my attraction is to Poison Ivy. Mm. I attribute it to the fact that she is always wearing a shirt that is two buttons away from exposing her breasts, while the same can be said about her downstairs area, where the only thing that prevents her from exposing herself are panties fashioned from plants.
I was more of
a little pervy here.
I was more of a Harley Quinn fan myself.
What, you like the clown makeup?
Well, I mean, if you kiss Poison Ivy, you die. So right. I guess there's a certain element of not thinking that that's the best idea.
Well, she just wants to kill you anyway. She's not so into... One of the few people she doesn't kill is Harley Quinn. They have this long-running fake faux. That's where I'm looking for. Faux lesbian thing going
Fuh.
On.
They're frenemies.
Yeah. No, they're partners with implied attraction.
Implied. R. Carrasco, 121, said... if you show me someone who wasn't a little hot and bothered by Dante and DMC, I'll show you a liar. And don't get me started on Nariko from Heavenly Sword.
Nariko. Oh, yeah, yeah. Nariko.
An Asian supermodel who also knows how to fight like Kratos. Yes. Yeah. Seriously, those abs on Dante, hot damn.
Nariko is nubile. Dante?
Nubile.
Nubile? I don't know if that's the right word.
Nariko? Are you kidding me?
She's tough, I thought.
She's nubile.
Yeah. All right. G Luna 46 for the question of the week. I've always had a little crush on Alex from Half-Life 2.
Oh, yeah.
Not only is she smart, but a bit of a nerd. She's cool and likable. Plus, she knows how to handle a gun.
Good in a fight.
You know what I noticed in mainstream games, if they even have a female main character... They never couple her off with anybody. She doesn't get to fall in love in the story. I wonder if that's because either the developers think that if the mostly guys who are playing as this girl are like, they think that they are putting themselves in the shoes of this girl, and then this girl falls in love with a dude, then if they think the players are through transmission thinking,
right.
Oh, I'm gay. I'm falling in love with a man.
Well, it's kind of a weird point, but that's totally true. I'm trying to think of any female protagonist. Like, there are so few
Lightning
female protagonists.
In Dragon Age, and I feel like the BioWare games
but you
let
can
you
make,
as...
Those are, you're making a
yeah,
character.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
but
meanwhile,
there's
but
still
like,
the option of...
Go to, like, Nariko, no. Jade from Beyond Good and Evil, never acknowledges anything about romance.
Longest...
Faith from Mirror's Edge, nothing.
Longest Journey? Did she fall in love with anybody? I don't think so.
It's not really mainstream anyway.
It's mainstream.
The last one, EAC73. The only answer is Miranda Lawson from Mass Effect. Come on, dad-ass.
Nah.
The winner this week. I'm doing a new thing where I read everybody's first. And
I like
and
it.
I tell
I like
them
it.
Who the winner
I
is.
I like this thing.
Is Tyranitan is the winner for this week.
Was he pink hair?
He was pink hair and League of Legends character.
Hard to complain.
Yeah.
Hard to complain. All right, so contact me, Greg H., at gamesradar.com, and I will send you something awesome if you live in the United States. If not, I can send you a digital code or something of that nature that doesn't have to be shipped in the mail. So congratulations.
Question of the week for this week.
Woo!
Related to games.
If you were going
to
A-B test two different
where you
articles,
meet the president, if you were able to meet anyone in a video game that was a real life person and
wait
hang on formulating
if you could meet any video game character, who would you meet?
No? It's dumb. It's boring.
Okay. If you could share a drink with any video game character, no?
If you could, in all earnestness, go to...
I got one. It's an easy one.
Is it halfway through his?
I don't think he's going anywhere.
Go to a baseball game.
No, all right. No,
we talked earlier about Ken Levine leaving BioShock, BioShock behind.
Uh-huh.
It's a simple question.
Wait.
But,
I got a better idea. Give me your best pop star name for your favorite game developer. So what? Ken Levine, K-Vine.
Maybe we could couple that with Cooper's.
If you want to answer that, also bonus points.
Okay.
But what studio do you want? If any studio could take over BioShock, what studio should it be, and why? It's a simple thing. I want to see Firaxis' take. I want to see sort of like a BioShock, like in like an XCOM thing, like a tactical shooter set in the world of Infinite would be really cool.
Does it have to be another 2K?
No,
studio?
Any studio, okay. Regardless. Ignore the fact that 2K owns it.
All right. Well, you know what? I would like to see Kojima do it. Let's go with him because BioShock Infinite is crazy enough, but I think it could go really crazy under Hideo Kojima's roof. But it would still be in another. There's always a lighthouse, and there's always a man, and there's always a girl. And whatever.
There's always a city is the third one,
and
not a girl.
Playing off of that, Kopo is my Hideo Kojima.
Kopo.
It's pronounced Kowtow.
Kojima Productions.
Yeah. Oh, okay. That's
Kopo. Good. Dude, I would listen to Kopo do some work on a microphone.
I think most people call it Koji Pro.
Koji Pro?
I think that's the Japanese.
It's pronounced GoPro.
Coco Popo.
It's a line of cameras.
I like Kopo better.
What about you, Greg?
I want EA to take it over just to see the public, like, explosion of hatred and vileness that I currently live in on the Games Radar Facebook page.
It's just pretty much like EA could be like, we gave some money to a charity, and people would be like, why didn't you give it to fucking a developer to make the game I want to make? You're selfish!
Why'd you give it to this charity and not this other one? Why do you, like, if they gave
do
it
you
to,
hate the troops?
If they gave it to AIDS research and not homeless people, they'd be like, well, you want the homeless to die? Is that it?
It's Kopo.
You're just going Kopo?
We have an option here.
All right. So Kopo. That's the question of the week. What developer, for any publisher, what developer do you want to take over BioShock? And for bonus points, what would be that developer's
K-Vine.
Pop star name?
Yeah.
Like Lilo for Lindsay Lohan?
Yeah. All that stuff.
Isn't she Lolo?
Oh, I've heard Lilo.
I could
Who's
be wrong.
Who's J-Lo?
Jennifer Lopez.
I think you're thinking of Jenny from the Block.
I might be.
You got fooled by the rock.
Still have enough? Still know where I came from?
Keep going.
I don't know.
Goodbye, everyone.